Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 24th, 2015. Today is Tuesday in the fifth week of Lent. We continue today with the second half of the story of the healing of the man born blind found in John's Gospel, chapter 9. And as I did yesterday, I'm going to read the passage of Scripture assigned to us by the Daily Office Lectionary for today. This is a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at the 18th verse. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." I bet the last thing that the man born blind ever thought would happen to him was that he would be put on trial for being healed. There he is, a witness to Jesus' healing power in front of the religious leaders who, as I said yesterday, are completely blind to the miracle standing before them. All they can see in the persona of the man is he's a threat to business as usual. He's a threat to the well-oiled machine of organized religion. He's a threat to their theology. Here he is, standing before them, a person who had been blind, known to the community as the blind man, the man born blind, but now he sees. So the first thing that you do when you're confronted with a bit of truth that makes you uncomfortable is you try to discredit the truth. The religious leaders continue to ask the man to narrate how it is that he has received his sight. And in the passage today, the man simply says, "I've already told you this. Why do you want to hear it again? My story's not going to change." So they try to discredit him. Then they bring in his parents and try to use leverage on them and say, "How did this happen?" And you're his parents, identify him. So they question the identity of the man. Surely someone's trying to pull something over on us. Someone's trying to keep us in the dark, when really the light is standing right there. Well, if we can't discredit the man, if we can't get him to change his story, if we're receiving identification that would indicate he is the very same person who was blind but now is not, let's get into a theological argument with the man himself. We know that the man who healed you is a sinner. And the man says, "Well, never since the beginning of the world has it ever been heard that someone restored the sight of a blind man. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do this." And then the religious leaders get defensive. "Who are you? Are you going to school us in religion? We've been to the right seminary." And they kick him out of the synagogue. They excommunicate him. It's a powerful scene. And it, again, has me reflecting on those of us who are very comfortable in our religion, very comfortable with our view of reality, very comfortable with our theology. We've got God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in nice, nifty categories. We know what's possible and what is not. We know how God behaves and how God doesn't. We've got it all figured out, don't we? At least we have it figured out until God does something not according to the script. And that's exactly what Jesus does in the Gospel of John, constantly breaking the script. And the script the religious leaders were working with, the script the religious leaders were working with, is the script that people born blind stay that way. People born deaf stay that way. People born with some physical deficiency stay that way. And in some ways, everything stays the same, but Jesus disrupts the status quo. When Jesus hears that the man has been thrown out, he looks for him, and they have this moving exchange, and the man ends up believing in Jesus and worshiping him. It's a powerful story. And it has much to say to us. And I still go back to the great experiential claim that the man makes, which many of us will recognize. When he's on trial in front of the religious leaders, on trial for being healed, mind you, on trial because he's made well. That says something about the state of organized religion. We'll put someone on trial when they're the healthy one. At any rate, they're asking him the question over and over and over. And finally, he says, "I don't know who he was. I don't know how he did it. But this is the one thing that I do know. I once was blind, and now I see." In that statement, the man preaches the good news of Jesus to all of us who read his story today. That's what Jesus does. Jesus enters our lives. He disrupts our lives with his healing power. And if we're not careful, in the presence of Jesus' light, our darkness will dissipate and we will see things clearly. We will see ourselves clearly. We will see our friends, loved ones, and neighbors clearly. We will see the world clearly. And once having received our sight from Jesus, we can never go back to being blind. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the incarnate Word, you have caused us to be born anew of an imperishable and eternal seed. Look with compassion upon those who are being prepared for holy baptism, and grant that they may be built as living stones into a spiritual temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.